Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And tonight our topic is tonight. So used to, excuse me, today. Our topic is learning how to operate in love through compassion, part one. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayer so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for this auspicious opportunity, Father, to be used in your service, Father God. We ask now, Father God, as we decrease and you increase in us, dear Heavenly Father, that we hear your voice. And so clearly, Father God, give us understanding and clarity, dear Heavenly Father, that which you have already preordained and destined for this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name for a second prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Again, our topic is learning how to operate in love through compassion, part one. We will be discussing the importance of understanding how compassion plays an important part in our relations with others. Many of us want compassion but have difficulty being able to exhibit it to others when necessary. And instead, we cause ourselves to have grief in situations that could have easily been avoided if only we could allow ourselves to feel compassion instead of resentment and anger. Compassion is exhibited with grace and mercy, and when we think of the grace and mercy that God has so easily given in his love, it will help us to understand, help us to be able to establish that same care, empathy, and genuine regard to others. In order to operate in love on a consistent basis, we must learn to have compassion for each other. We must start to look at others' processes with understanding, learning how to trust and believe that we can help, that we can relate, and that we are not dealing with the issues of others just because they are in our lives. We must learn that we are dealing with the issues of others because God has established a plan that we love one another if he loves us. We are in each other's lives to help each other heal and become delivered from the very issues that have become apparent. God has established in us a love that can cover a multitude of sins and has given each of us the measure of faith to deal with any issues that arise, whether it is our own or someone else's. We must still operate in love. Amen. And tonight, today we're coming out of the book of Isaiah 54, verse 7 through 8. And the word is, your Redeemer God says, I left you, but only for a moment. Now, with enormous compassion, I'm bringing you back. In an outburst of anger, I turn my back on you, but only for a moment. It's with lasting love that I'm tenderly caring for you. And that's the word of God.
The people of God, praise be unto God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And compassion is the response to the suffering of others that motivates a desire to help. And it says that compassion motivates people to go out of their way. To go out of their way to help physical, spiritual, or emotional hurts or pains of another. Compassion is often regarded as an emotional aspect to it, as having an emotional aspect to it, though when based on cerebral notions such as fairness, justice, and interdependence, it may be considered rational in nature and its application understood as an activity based on sound judgment. Amen. Amen. And like I was sharing with my husband earlier, I chose that scripture because it talks about God's anger and how he got angry. He said, I left you, but only for a moment. You know, showing that, you know, when we get those feelings, and we get in that other place of not being able to operate in love, we can't stay there long. We are not supposed to stay there long. And I was sharing with a friend the other night that I'm just so grateful that you know, you stayed with me in my midst. You know, you didn't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. You know, and the miracle was that I did become healed and delivered from a lot of the issues that I had going on in my life. And like I was sharing with you earlier, that was present in all my relationships, every last one of them. You know, I was always the angry person, you know, always the hurt person, always the person that was skeptical or suspicious, you know, untrusting, you know, untrustworthy, you know, and being able to have someone to have that compassion, you know, because I know that deep down inside I can look now in retrospect and see that it was your compassion, you know, that you did want to help because you loved me that much, you know, that you did. It was something that you saw in me, just like something I saw in you. Well, when we start looking with those spiritual eyes and that compassion that we have for each other because of the love that we have for each other that's been covered up with all this other nonsense and mess, you know, then we look at that good thing and we say, you know, I know that he don't have to be like this or she don't have to be like this. I know that there's something going on. There's got to be something going on. And we try to figure out, how can I help? What can I do to make this better?
You know, I think when you made a statement about looking at each other through spiritual eyes, that is basically it. You know, if I look at you through spirit, I'm saying to myself, that's not you. You know, that is your hurt. That is your animosity. That is all the things that culminate the anger that you're feeling at this moment because, you know, you're looking at me through eyes of anger, disappointment, bitterness, and things of that nature. You know, but once we start looking at each other through spiritual eyes to see that that's not really you, you know, then that compassion kicks in, you know, to say that, hey, you know, if I leave now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, I might end up with somebody worse than who I'm with.
Okay.
You know, so it's better to have that patience and persevere just to see what the outcome is going to be. Because like you see, you leave 5 minutes before the miracle. You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you're losing out on. So having that compassion lets you open up your own spiritual eyes to see that there is something better here. We just have to know and learn how to bring it out, you know, and have that forgiveness. You know, because that's part of that process of having the passion, you know. That forgiveness allows you to not feel those things that you're feeling in the art of the speed, because if I had left, you know, and stayed gone, then I wouldn't have been able to go through the process I needed to go through, because I needed some healing too. I needed to have some things done within me to help me be a better me for you. So it's a number of things that played a part in that, but compassion was part of it, you know, because I could have just, and I did, you know, have some issues myself that I was dealing with because of what was going on between us. But like you said, love, or like the scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. So we had to let that love develop and grow in us to overcome all the other stuff that was in the way of really seeing the spiritual me in you, you know. And I thank God for that because it brought us a long way from where we were to where we are today. And it's still a process. Even as we minister, we still see the light being shined on us so that we can still, I use the onion theory, peel that onion off,
right.
You know, so that, you know, there's not as many tears as there was in the beginning. You know, when you first start chopping onions, they start to run it, but as you continue, though, it doesn't bother you as much or even not at all. You know, so that means that we're getting stronger in our faith and stronger in our relationship with one another and our love toward one another. So.
And I think that, you know, you made a very valid point there because it's strengthening that faith, because God said that it's better to have faith in him than confidence in man.
Amen.
And so many times we put so much confidence in the other person that we end up trying to have faith in that person that they would be whatever it is that we want them to be or expect them to be, instead of understanding that God can do this. You know, God is the one doing the mighty work. We don't have to do all that work that we think that we need to be doing to try to change other people or to try to make the situation straight. Because God said he'll straighten out crooked paths.
Just like
you know,
Jesus said on the cross, you know,
it's finished.
It's finished work that we need to operate in and fall from instead of trying to do it ourselves.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of times we miss the whole experience of what the cross was all about. You know, he did it so we wouldn't have to. You know, he is there for us to lay our burdens on. He is there for us to come and draw from what we need when we come up with these different things that happen to us in life, you know, that we don't understand, and we don't have the strength to deal with. You know, he's there for us to help us cope with those issues and even to draw from his compassion so that we can have it in us for others, you know, because compassion is an awesome thing. You know? And I think in the definition, if you go back to it right quick, it said it's the response to
The suffering of others that motivates a desire to help.
A desire to help. And that's the basic key, is that desire. Having that desire to want to be helpful. Having that desire to not want to run away, or not having that desire to see it as being so overwhelming that you can't deal with it, you know. And responding in a way that will help, you know. We'll help that person that's suffering to transition through and make it through that, whatever it is, that season that they're going through, you know, and then they can draw from you from that, you know, helping them to be able to say, okay, it's going to be all right. You know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, you know, so.
And compassion will also allow you to be able to risk the person's anger with telling them the truth, you know, not trying to badger them. You know, beat them over the head with the Bible, you know, scripture, you know, because so many times we try to walk in a self-righteous tone, you know, and atmosphere, and think that that's compassion and that's helping. It's not, you know, that's badgering. But when I take it back to empathy and be reminded, you know, that I'm not perfect. I have issues. And, of course, if I can realize that I have an issue, I ought to be able to understand and realize that somebody else does, too. And usually, because when we become one, a lot of our issues are the same. You know, we may suffer from low self-esteem, you know, abandonment issues, you know, different things that would cause us to recognize those issues in each other. But instead of dealing with them or coping with them or trying to come to understand them or trying to be healed and deliver from them, we blame each other because we point
flaws.
Those fingers.
Yeah, we all have flaws. So, you know, if you point a finger, that one finger, there's three pointing back at you. So that lets you know you flawed from the beginning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we just can't look at each other in such a way that, you know, we exalt ourselves over somebody else.
Right.
You know, like I was telling you earlier this morning when I was cooking my breakfast, you know, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because normally, in all honesty, when I was in a situation like I was Friday at work, normally when those guys would come in there with these tall orders, I mean, there would be so much stuff on their plate, and then you got three eggs. You got all this stuff you want on it. That will frustrate me. You know, all the cheese that I knew was going to stick on the grill, you know. And if you concentrate on those things, it'll build up. And the next thing you know, you're offended. You got a nasty attitude. You say, man, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? And then you get in a defeated attitude toward what it is that you're supposed to be doing. But by me not feeding into that, because I used to do that. And that's what caused me to have, you know, different interactions with the customer, you know. But I was so thankful because I had talked about that after it happened. And I could see, you know, the Holy Spirit working in me, you know, and I just took it all, kind of all joy. And I worked through that thing, and I got through all those people, and I got them fed, and I did it in a good spirit. And it made me feel good to see the change in me, you know, because I had to identify what it was in them other places where it got me to the point where they had to move me out of there, you know. So it took some introspect on my part to try to understand what my problem was, because there's always two sides to a story, you know. And I said, well, I'm the common denominator in all of this, in both cases. So let me look at me and see what my flaws are and ask God to help me to do better. Because now he done gave me a second chance to go back out there and work. I don't want that to happen again because I got a family to take care of. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know why I brought that up, but I feel that it's important that, you know, because I think that's also part of that compassion too, because it's got to work for you just as well as it's got to work for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you have to show compassion to yourself.
Right.
You know, and I was really grateful to be able to see that, you know, in my understanding, because they helped me to see, okay, well, this is what you got to do to overcome that, you know, so just want to share that. I thought that was a side of growth, spiritual growth, you know, and I thank God for that. I really do.
Amen, amen. I can relate, because it is good when you can look back and see that you're not still there.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember when Bishop said the reason why the enemy could get you is because you're still in the same spot. He always know where to find you. You know, when we don't move out of those spots, you know, even in our relationships, I remember when we was trying to get things back together and we kept looking for each other to still exhibit those same behaviors, we still operating in fear instead of operating in love, because I'm waiting on you to act the same way you always acted. You waiting on me to respond the same way I always responded. And I remember when we had to come back to the table and talk and tell each other, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, maybe you haven't noticed that I've changed, but I have. You know, we can talk now. I'm not going to get upset every time you mention a female. You know, I'm not going to get upset every time you 5 or 10 minutes late and I don't know where you are. You know, we had to come in and allow each other to know that these changes that have been made is noticeable. You know, let's notice it in each other.
Right.
If I can notice it in me, you know, and you can't, sometimes maybe I need to allow you to know that I have changed, because we're not mind readers.
I know that.
You know, we don't come with the big sign over our forehead, I've changed, you know. You know, and even in looking at the changes, because sometimes changes are so subtle. You know.
Yeah.
You know, they gradual. You know, the process of the change may go unnoticed because it's such a small change.
But if it's consistent, and it certainly is a good thing, because it allows you to pick up on that. You know, kind of magnify that in your spirit. Because even that is so minute, so small, you know, it's something that you pick up on in your spirit and say, wow, now I never noticed that before. But that's different.
And
that's,
I think that's good. Another one of those things that motivate that compassion. Okay, let me try to help you stay there, you know, to continue in this. It's just like when you give children praise, and we the same way, children of God. But when we look at how we give children praise and the way they face life, because we notice it.
That's the education. That's that building up,
that
confidence.
Yes.
On the inside, you know that, yes, I can do this, you know.
And it makes them want to do it more, because you
want
to hear more praise.
Yeah.
And we have to do each other like that in our relationships. You know, when I see things, that's why, you know, a lot of times, I always try to let you know that I appreciate you. everything that you do. I don't care how small it is, you know, you be tickle pink sometimes because you like it don't take much for you, you know, or you see little things, you know, but I'm letting you know that these things do please me. And I want you to continue to please me with these things. I don't want you to think that these things are going unnoticed because, like you say, if it is small, it may be small to you, but it's big to me.
That's a good point you bring up because I think in a lot of relationships, especially dealing with men, we think it's that big grandiose thing that's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we look over the little stuff
and
wonder why things are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was revelation to me right there.
That's good.
Because
it's
something that those consistent little things that help build up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do get to that grandiose moment, then it is a big deal.
It's really big.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's kind of overwhelming, too, because, you know, it's led up to this moment,
mm-hmm.
you know. But all the little things that you did pay attention to and then gloss over with minimal concern and kept being attentive to, you know
right.
what I'm saying? So
and that is good because that reminded me of when, you know, birthdays, Christmas, holidays, you know, that was important to me. If you couldn't do it big, you didn't do nothing.
I didn't do nothing.
You know, and I was always disappointed because I was never looking for something big. Only thing that I was looking for.
You didn't have $1.29 to buy a car, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to
acknowledge.
To reflect that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, that occasion. You
right.
know, it didn't have to be big, you know, but that is important. That is good revelation, Holy Spirit, because I think to a fault with men, we do that. We go that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of and the beautiful thing about it is it's something you can do every day.
Right.
Every day. You ain't got to wait. Yeah, you ain't got to wait until that calendar day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
This is something that you can do on a daily basis consistently, you know, to help build up to that moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you really wanna stretch your stuff, so to speak, you know. But like I said, it's even appreciated even more
mm-hmm.
because it kind of galvanized all the other little small stuff that you have done up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is, and it's very appreciated, you know, just little things like bringing ice water, you know, bringing a special drink that I like from the store, those Fuse, they got it called, Fuse or Fuzz. Whatever those are, strawberries.
Yeah.
You know,
being thoughtful, yeah.
Yeah, being thoughtful, you know.
Or even asking that question, you know. Maybe I didn't see something that you like for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pick it up. Nah, you might like this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those things are priceless. You know what I'm saying? And those moments that thoughtfulness, you know, it helps to build that relationship and even that compassion that we have for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion that we have for each other. So, you know, it's a lot of key things that work in this topic that we're on today that helps us to better just recognize the work, you know, that we have in each other in a relationship, you know, because it's so easy to go on the flip side of that, you know. I can look at all kind of stuff that I can stay upset with and angry about, dissatisfied with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what's that going to accomplish? What's making us two miserable people up in this camp?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not going to help neither one of us.
That's right.
But if you try to shine a light on the good and pursue the good and to see those things that are done that pleases you, you know, it puts a smile on your face, you know, that's what's going to make for a delightful day,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you won't be walking around with, man, I wonder what's going to happen today. You know, what that going to look like when I get home today, you know. Why focus on that day? Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. That's part of rejoicing and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking at the good that's in it. You know, not trying to find the faults and the things that's going, you know, help you murmur and complain.
And we need to learn how to thank God for what's not happening. You know, I heard that revelation.
Say that.
One day from this guy, he shared that all the time. You know, I just want to thank God for what's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we look at what's not happening, we can have that gratitude.
Absolutely.
You know, and show some compassion to help, to be motivated to help that stuff not happen, you know. Because, you know, life is going to already throw you enough curveballs.
And you got to deal with life on life terms on a daily basis. But what are you dealing with it with?
Mm-hmm.
What are you equipped with that day to deal with whatever disappointments may come or whatever adversities may come
mm-hmm.
or those challenges that are going to come? But what are you equipped to deal with it with?
Yourself,
your own understanding. Mm-hmm. If you're leaning on that, let me tell you, you're going to have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're leaning on the Lord, who already made that day while you was laying up sleep all night long, he was doing what he do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one that can do it like he can do it.
Amen.
So when you consult with him first thing in the morning to help you through that day, you got the navigator right there to help you go through and deal with whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and giving that trust and faith in him. That's why I like that Fred Hammond song, I will trust in the Lord. I love that song because that's what's going to help you through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting in him, not trusting in man, not leaning on your own understanding, but trusting in the Lord to help you through. You know, I'm telling you, I don't even look at commuting back and forth to work the same no more. I know God is with me. You know, I depend on him being with me because if you want to think of anything that's so unpredictable, it's those streets. You never know what's going to happen at a given time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even your mind being preoccupied while you drive, it could be a distraction. You know, so, but God regulating things and helping you. And a lot of times when I pull up in the driveway, I'll be like, Lord, thank you for bringing me home safe.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, many a day I've said that because there's danger seen and unseen. Everywhere, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to, you know, like you say, have a grateful and thankful heart in all things.
Mm-hmm.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Glory to God.
Amen. I am so grateful for that. It's just a wonderful feeling to know that we don't have to return to any mess that we've overcome. We have that choice, you know. You can bring mess back up, you know, like I used to call it the messed up topic. You know, you can bring mess back up and interrupt your own happiness.
Sabotage.
You know, but you have a choice. You do have a choice. And I just want to encourage anybody that's listening, be encouraged.
Man.
Be encouraged and don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle.
Wait,
allow yourself to look at whoever it is that you say that you love, look at them with spiritual eyes and know that you're not fighting. You know, it's those principalities. But God definitely establishing a plan in your life. It's already been done.
And long suffering.
Already been done.
Long suffering is not a bad thing.
It's not.
It might sound like it because you have that word suffer, but it's not. And if you could persevere through those hard times and those adversities, and don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle, please believe me. Once you see the miracle, you'll be amazed.
Truly amazing.
Amen.
So I want to thank you again today. It's definitely been a pleasure and an honor.
You
will pray us out.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, we come before your throne once again, giving you thanks and praise for this time, Father God, just to be in your presence and in your word and allowing you to speak to us and through us, dear Heavenly Father, on the subject of compassion. Thank you that you have compassion on us, dear Heavenly Father, and mercy and grace, Father God. And we just give you all praise, honor, and glory right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And just remember that no matter what the situation is, the problem or the circumstance,
the lesson
is always there.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. that I